Let's get it, man. Check to check radio. We about to check something out right here. About to talk to my guy, Zave P, on the line. Zave, what up?
Still in the building. Check to check. Wow.
Yeah, wow. So, trying out a new format, something we're going to do. I figured out there was a way for us to have our conversations we have. We have these long, drawn-out phone conversations. And, you know, we're not in the same place all the time, but I was like, is there a way to record that from both sides while we're talking? And now I found CastBox. So y'all go to CastBox. It's going to be Check to Check Radio on CastBox. Me and my guy, we're going to drop videos randomly whenever we're having great conversations. We'll record them. And then I'm going to put up a YouTube link, a website, or actually a Twitter where y'all can ask us questions. We can have conversations, but we're going to test this out. So the first pilot episode, we're going to talk about our guy, LeBron James.
The greatest human organism ever created.
Ever created.
Ever.
Ever. In the histories. So LeBron has a new coach.
Frank, I don't know.
Frank Vogel.
Oh, the same coach he was knocking out with the Pacers, huh?
Frank Vogel coached Indianapolis, coached the Pacers. They said LeBron has respect for him because he saw with what he did with, I guess it was what, was it Miles Turner then? Was it Paul George then?
You know what I mean? You can go with David West.
David West, with a nice little squad. He saw the sets they were running. You know, LeBron is a basketball savant. All right, you know what I mean? He records that stuff. He sees it. He watches the sets. He watches tape. He sees what they're running. So he knows what kind of coach Frank Vogel can be, right? But we also know Vogel's the coach that coached Orlando last year and didn't do anything. And this year, they made a little noise. They were a better team this year without him. But I don't know if that's just coach fatigue or what, so I'm not going to put that on the man. But tell me your thoughts on Frank Vogel.
Okay, I'll make it very short and sweet. My thoughts on Frank Vogel is this. Of course, he's respected. He's a coach. He's paid his dues. So when I hear the word respected, yeah, you know, he's going to get that. I believe he's earned that. Here's the problem. With a team like that's led by LeBron James, it's kind of like a team that needs to be led by Michael Jordan pre-Scottie Pippen when Phil came in the door. I need to build relationships with these players. Luke didn't have relationships, and that's what kind of edged him out the door. Vogel needs to come in there and make sure, I know this sounds weird, massage their egos, but make them feel like rapport is being built. If he can do that and get through to LeBron, through the Lonzos and all that, whoever's there, he can have some, especially with Jason Kidd being there. So it's kind of like they got dual coaches, one for personality, one for X's and O's. It could work. I do feel, though, at the end of the day, it's about that front office more than Frank Vogel. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
It's not just about what Frank's going to do. Frank and Jason Kidd have to make sure they got to be able to multitask with the Rambuses, the bus, and then the LeBron in the locker room and make sure that they feel they have their backs. If they don't, we're looking at another playoff non-success season, and we're looking at a bunch of drama, period.
Well, now, what about we don't have to go to coaching style today, but what about other players? You were mentioning the player. You asked me, was I ready for it? Go ahead and do that again. What were you saying? Who do you think the player is that LeBron needs to bring in? They need to bring in from free agency that can buffer some of the scoring load, defensive load, whatever it is. Who do you think that player is? Matter of fact, give me two, because I see two players coming to the Lakers. So who is it?
These are two, and I'm gonna make it good for what we're doing right now. Let's go out of the box. Let's do this out of the box, right?
Okay.
Everybody says Kawhi, KD, blah, blah. No. Even Clay, I get it. I don't think none of these players are coming there. What I do see is let's go in and improve that two-guard shooting position for another 20 PPGs right there maybe and go get you Bradley Beal. And then you need some hybrid defense that can interchange and also help and get that locker room whipped in shape. I'll throw some money at Draymond Green. I think if I come back majority with that same squad, couple of veteran shooters, and you give me Bradley Beal and Draymond Green, especially if KD go to the Knicks, I see the Lakers running shop.
You know who I want?
I see the Lakers running shop.
You know who I want on my wish list, and I don't even know his contract?
Who?
Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell.
I like the Montrezl Harrell. Pat, I love his toughness, but his offensive game hinders his defense.
But basically, see, I just want him to be able to, I just want him to be able to be tough. I just want him to be able to get in there and dig it out and be that tough guy. You know what I mean? That's going to go ahead and play D on some of the best players in the league. Because I remember when everybody was laughing at Lonzo when it was Lonzo's first game and Patrick Beverley was sticking him like 2-3 years ago. I remember everybody was laughing at Lonzo because remember Patrick Beverley was trying to, you know, shut him down and they said, yeah, that's because of your daddy and did all that. Ain't that the same dude they said did some work on KD? Ain't that him?
Sure is him.
Oh, how quick we forget, though. How quick we forget when we want to set a expectation. Oh, Patrick Beverley, let Lonzo have it. Let him know he ain't ready. Is you telling me KD ain't ready, or is Patrick Beverley just good?
Well, you know, okay, he's good, but remember, this is NBA. It's all about putting the ball in the hole, and people don't appreciate defense. You know, I preach what? Perimeter defense. That wins titles in today's game. So I'm with you on that. And I'm not mad at you picking him up for the low. I'm not giving him no $80 million, though.
I'm not doing that either. I feel you. But I liked how aggressive Montrezl Harrell is the opposite of Ingram as far as attitude-wise, as far as heart-wise.
You're so hard on Ingram.
Because Ingram needs a heart transplant. I think he's tall. I think he's tall, and I think he's been good at basketball since he was young. But I don't think it's where his heart is. You know what I mean?
So wait, are you calling him the Tin Man of basketball?
Ooh, did you just come up with a nickname? I mean, I guess so, and if I'm wrong about that, show me. But I could tell Lonzo loves playing basketball. I could just see it. Lonzo Ball loves playing basketball. Kuzma, I think he loves playing basketball. Now, although Lonzo told a great story about how after they found out Magic was getting traded, he said – he got on the text and was like, hey, Kuz, where we going? What we doing tonight, man? All right, fuck it. What we doing? You know what I mean?
You see how the era's changed? Like, the OG Bron is like, man, how can't you tap in with your boy, man? You know, he took it a certain way. Like you said, well, my young brodies, they like, hey, man, what we doing tonight? All right, you feel me? It's nothing. We move on. You know what that symbolized? Hold on. I got to say this. That symbolized what, my fam? That brand of the Lakers mystique and all that went out the window. The young boys don't care about that.
Yeah.
We care about that. That holds no weight no more.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, I could see someone growing up as a fan of their favorite team and wanting to play for that team if it's possible. But that whole come to New York because it's the Mecca. New York is the Mecca in name and from the 70s and 80s playground basketball courts. But guess what, guys? While y'all were busy being the Mecca, other people was busy in the gym getting their game up too. You know what I'm saying? People start getting on this fast food and having these women are 5'2" and they having 6'8" kids with 6'1" dudes on this McDonald's diet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we might have to question the paternity on that one. Dude, 6'1", she 5'2", and you got a 6'8". Maury, no.
MJ 6'6", his daddy wasn't tall. MJ dad like 6'2", his mom like 5'8". His brother Larry's like 6'1", or something. Jordan came out 6'6". He looked dead on his daddy.
Well, he looked dead on his daddy. God rest his daddy.
God rest his soul, but he looked dead on his daddy, and his daddy wasn't tall.
But I will say this, though. I got to say this about LeBron. Where I give him a little echo of greatness that a lot of people are not talking about. LeBron plays for, other than Miami, I would say shit show ran organizations. They don't have a clue.
Other than the organization in Miami, because that was a top flight organization.
You know what I'm saying?
And the things LeBron wanted wasn't even over the top, but they were like, if we got to treat you like that, we got to try to treat everybody else like that, and that's not how we're going to run this. You know, preferred parking spaces, friends on the plane, on trips,
no.
All that kind of stuff. No, I'm just saying. I'm saying that's the thing. What?
You're supposed to get preferred. I'm not worried about that, but I'm saying, though, before, with Cleveland, Miami was ran great. It was, you know, it was done top to bottom. I loved how it was ran. And people say it was like the mob. But also what Cleveland had was a silver lining was David Griffin.
Right.
Now, I gave David Griffin, I gave you the organizational tools and taught him how to be a winner with Miami.
All right, stop.